What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Declutter Me, a podcast about organizing and decluttering your life. And hello, Shalina.
Hi, Shrek. How are you?
I'm good. I believe we have another show to talk about today.
We do. Netflix seem to be having a lot of shows about decluttering and organizing. One day they may have me.
It seems like that's their next thing, right? Like they had that comedy spree and then they had like a drama spree going on. Now it's like a...
Oh, and then the cooking. Spree. There's a lot of cooking things that was on for a very long time. Yeah. And now, yeah, it's the decluttering and organizing. So I think they have enough space to include Declutter Me one day soon. Very soon, don't you think?
Really? I thought you would prefer to be more on Disney Plus.
I would, yeah. Actually, yeah. Declutter and organize Mickey's house. Oh my god, that would be amazing, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
oh my god.
Yeah. It's more on brand for you.
Yeah. You can have Cinderella in a castle. Oh my god, you're so right. Yes. I know. Please let me be on your show. It would be on your channel.
Yeah, plus I mean it's a good fit because Disney needs a decluttering show now to compete with Netflix. Otherwise Netflix will just have a monopoly of decluttering shows, which is not good. We want competition.
Exactly. Yeah. And they need to have a brown person, like an Asian person like me, on as like dressed up as a Disney princess. They don't have any brown. They haven't had any brown
cartoon. It's a good thing you're not playing the diversity card very strongly here.
Look, if you have it, use it. Look at, like, what's her name? The cook in England, the one who was on Bake Off. Nadia. She's used the brown card well. I might as well use a brown card. You know what I mean? Like... Let's do it. Anyway.
I can feel this conversation getting out of hand very quickly. So we're going to pull this back and talk about the specific show today for starters.
Yes.
So let's do that. Let's get your initial thoughts as we tend to do when Netflix comes out of one of these shows, like we've done with two so far, I think, right?
Yeah, it's been Marie Kondo and The Home Edit Girls. So this one is about the minimalists who have been around for, I think, 10 years or so. It's been a while. And it's another one of these cult things like Marie Kondo that, you know, the people who follow them on their groups and on their podcast and on social media, if you don't follow the mantra of the minimalist, then you're a failure. And it's, you know, it's not been something I've been an advocate for or... You know, when people go, oh, you're a minimalist because I declutter. No, I'm not a minimalist, obviously, as you can see by my bookcase behind.
But, you know, there is a point to be made when you're talking about, like, you should be one of these shows. Well, clearly there's a theme to Netflix picking up these things, which is build a cult around you and we'll make a show about you.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. And I mean, that's how you get the money, isn't it? That's how you get the fan base and you make money and you can get the add-ons, you know. Because Marie Kondo has
But this is an interesting sort of approach, right? What do? Do we get the listeners and the fans to like go at everybody and be like, apply file act and toss, or we're gonna, you know, you're not part of this group anymore?
It's weird as a real normal person watching all of this. It's just like, no, this is wrong. But then you're like, well. Yeah, we have got a lot of followers and listeners now. So, but if obviously we haven't got a cult because I haven't got anything cultish to say. Tell them the mantra of Shalina.
Like, no, I'm just telling you, the mantra of Shalina is like file, act, and toss. You know, it's like fat.
File, act, and toss. And can you find it in 5 seconds? But that's not really
can
a process.
Can you find it in 5 seconds?
Yeah, it's always about can you find it in 5 seconds. Anyway, so the show. Let's talk about the show. So, it wasn't even a show. It's a documentary. So it's a film. It goes on for too long, in my opinion. They did. It was weird.
for a minimalist show, ..
It went on. I did get bored. But anyway, but if you did listen to them, and they had guests on talking, but the majority was these two guys. They had this weird thing where they had, like, they were in an office and talking about their old corporate life, and they went to see their houses because they lived pretty rough lives while growing up. You know, they had problems at home and stuff like that. And that's how they became friends from when they were at school. It was interesting, but it was just a weird way it was set up. But with the minimalists, from what I've heard and read before, their thing was about getting rid of everything and having 30 things only that you could use in your life, which were needed in your life. In this documentary, they had a thing about take something out every day for 30 days and see how, you know, if you need it or not. So that was a good thing. I did like that. And they also discussed about how they started the being minimalist. So one guy started it first, and then the other one, he said to him, put everything into a box and then only open the box if you need something in that box. And then let's see after a certain amount of time, I guess 30 days, if you needed that, the stuff, if there's stuff still in the boxes, and if there is, then you can throw the boxes away. Or I think maybe it was 6 months, not 30 days. But, you know, there was a time frame for it. So they had that, and of course he didn't take out a lot of the stuff from the boxes, so then he got rid of it, and that's how he became a minimalist, which is one way of doing it. And it does, it could work for a few people, but, you know, it could work for, say, things like toys. You know, if the kids don't take all the toys out and find the toys, then you could donate a lot of the toys, which I think is a good way to go, because people are buying so many toys or getting so many toys as presents that this is a, you know, it's a good method. It's a clever method. And yeah, at the end they did the whole thing that, you know, take one thing out every day and see how it goes. And they had people who followed the minimalists, you know, this idea and followed the minimalists quite, I'd say religiously. And they did it, but they just didn't take one thing out. They started taking everything out, like taking more and more things out, which is great. I do the same with my clothes. I don't take out just one piece of my clothes. I'll take out like 10 pieces of clothes when I go through my wardrobe. But there seemed to be a thing that there was more, it was less about simplifying their lives, and these people were more depriving themselves by just taking out everything, because they were like, look, this is what we've been told. We need to get rid of everything. And so that's what they were doing, you know? So that's my concern with watching this, that it was more not about, and they were talking about simplifying your life. So you do this, you realize you don't need the items, you'll simplify your life, do more adventures, do more holidays, do more things rather than having things, which was great. But yeah, people were going to the extreme, and even the people they had on the show. So that's, yeah, that was the worry with me.
Yeah, and I think this is, I mean, you know, we've talked about minimalism as a concept quite some time ago now. Actually, it's been over a year maybe. But this is kind of one of those really, like, it's one of those tricky things to kind of manage, right? Because the idea, or as a concept, it makes sense, right? You don't want things you don't need. You should just focus on the things that you... Sorry, you do. You know, the nice to haves are nice by definition, nice to have, but they're not necessary.
Yeah.
And then we do get into the cycle, of course, and we've talked about like a lot of different concepts that that make that happen. I mean, sometimes it's emotional, sometimes it's just a good sale, which kind of gets you to bring stuff into your space or into your house. And then, you know, and then we don't tend to get rid of things easily, and so we kind of look at this sort of purge moment, right? At some point where we just say, okay, take everything out and then dump it out and all that. And I think the difference that we've, you know, we'll link to that episode, but the difference we've generally done on the show, or to try and explain that, is, you know, try to make these things more process oriented, so that you do it regularly. So, for example, you have as we tend to do many times, or we talk about sort of, you know, buy one, get rid of two, and so on, right? So that as a concept, everything that comes in kind of doesn't create like too much clutter, right? At the end of the day.
Yeah.
And so I think the thing with minimalism there is that's where it gets tricky, because then you have these kind of weird definitions of these things where it's like you should only have 15 things in a certain room, or When you start doing it that way, then you stop. It stops becoming about what you actually need. It starts becoming about that number. And then things get tricky from there.
Yeah.
So then we have the esteemed example of, like, you know, you don't have a tissue box in the room because it doesn't fit in the 15.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. And I mean, that's what we'd read before about the minimalists and what their ethos is, that you have to get rid of so many things and only live with this. But this was more that, you know, don't do that first. Just do this, get rid of one thing every day or get rid of a few things every day. But you just talked about, you know, buying and, you know, buying things online and everything. That actually came up. So they said, you know, it's much easier to shop now and much easier to get everything that you need. But we're getting targeted ads and we're getting bombarded with things making us, you know, subconsciously think that we need it, that we need to buy it. Yep. And there was a lot of talk about that, which was... And it's scary and true. And there was also, you know, recently that program about the social media and how they're targeting people as well, right? So this was like that, but more talking about the stuff and how and why people are buying more stuff, thinking they need it, that it's going to fulfill their life and make everything better. And I admit, I've been targeted. I have fallen for it. Usually, though, I do think about it and think, actually, do I really need it? But, you know, iPhones, you know, they put all the picture, you know, they do everything on the iPhone. I will want to get a new iPhone. You know what I mean? So it is scary how they're doing it and how it's working and how it makes people buy. And it is work. You know, we do see this. I see this a lot when I go to people's houses. There is a hair brand that was on Facebook. And I swear every single client whose house I've done, like the bathroom and the bedroom, have bought this item because there were targeted ads here and I'm sure globally for this thing. And people didn't just buy one container to try out this hair conditioner thing. They bought four just because they could get a brush with it. And it didn't work for anybody. They've got all this wasted conditioner thing that's just, nobody uses it. And that's the scary thing of what's happening on social media, on the computer, on the internet, you know, on TV with ads. And that's what they brought up. And it's very true. And it was good to have that highlighted. People buy the stuff and then they don't need it. But it's finding that fine line between not falling for these ads and buying stuff unnecessarily and then having the stuff and getting rid of it. Like, what's that fine line?
Yeah, and I mean, we've talked about this a few times. And, you know, we've even gone to the sort of the psychology of doing this, right? Like, our parents' generation kind of where consumerism kind of became a thing. And a lot of our worth is associated with the stuff we have, which makes a big deal. I mean, you know, the number of times like you get sucked into even, I mean, you're talking about very targeted advertising, but even look at some of the simple stuff, right? Like the number of times you get sucked into saying, well, if you buy, you know, things worth 50 more dirhams, you'll get free delivery.
Yes.
You don't need it. You don't want it, but you get sucked into buying something that you don't need just to, because it's cheaper, and it's a very psychological thing, because I go through it too all the time. Yeah. And then when I've been able to check myself, sometimes I'm like, wait, but shipping is like 10 dirhams. So why am I spending 50 to get 10 free when I can just spend 10, right?
Yes.
And I mean, again, these are example numbers, but invariably that's what we'll end up seeing, you know, happen a lot. And it's a very tough impulse to control, by the way. Because we're just so used to seeing it all around us. We're used to seeing our friends do it. We're used to seeing, where you look at it as peer pressure or just... And I do think, by the way, a lot of this has to do with the kind of year we've had where we're just kind of looking for something that makes us feel good. And I think, again, there's nothing wrong with that. But it does lead to sort of these... suddenly you're looking in your room and wondering where all the stuff came from. And it's either a sale or an advertisement or, you know, one of these free shipping things.
Yeah, it's funny about the free shipping thing. I had something. What did I buy the other day? I bought something and they went, if you spend, like, it was like something like, if you spend 23 more dirhams, you'll get free shipping. And I went, okay, it's only 23 more dirhams. Like,
yeah,
I could buy, like, something for the cats. And then I looked and I went, I'm only spending 6 dirhams on shipping. Like, it was 6 dirhams. It was not even 10, which is the normal. I went, no, why? Just no. So I just, and I was like, I talk about this all the time, but I actually thought about it and went, yeah, let me just spend 23, like it's only 23 dirhams. But no, no, no. I never fall for that thing. Unless it's like a few pounds or dirhams out, like 5 dirhams or 5 pounds, which has happened in Sephora. And a lot of friends have had this, that you go to that, because it's not that big, the minimum for free shipping, or it didn't used to be. So if you buy cotton pads, you'll get over that tiny amount that you need to spend. So then they ran out of cotton pads because people realized that if they just buy a few packets or one packet of cotton pads, they'll go over the threshold. So yeah, when it's that, all right, get something like maybe.
But no, I think conceptually you just have to look at it as like, you know, do you need the stuff, right? I mean, ultimately that's what it boils down to. So even when we're buying stuff, I mean, that's what happens. I mean, the question isn't really the cotton pads or not, or whether you should spend 10 dirhams or not, I think, or 50 dirhams or not, because ultimately that's kind of everybody's prerogative to do what they want. But I think it's just important to remember that, like, some the stuff kind of keeps piling on, and if you don't want to be in that, or you want to kind of at least adopt some level of a simpler lifestyle, even if you don't want to call it minimalist, then, you know, thinking about this stuff while you're going through the buying process is just as important as sitting and decluttering everything. Yeah, afterwards.
Exactly, exactly. And I think that's the thing. I think minimalist has become a cult word, and it's more about simplifying. And so they did have some good ideas, ethos maybe, to, you know, on how to live a more decluttered life. But it took a big documentary to get through to those key points. So it's easier just to listen to our podcast for a few minutes. You know what I mean? So.
Wow. That was not a shameless plug there.
I know. Subscribe to us. We're only 15 minutes. But yeah. Yeah. I mean, not my cup of tea to watch them. I didn't find them very engaging. Maybe other people will. But yeah. I mean, shall we try the get rid of one thing for 30 days and see how it goes and tell our listeners?
I mean, I don't know if I...
You don't have that much stuff.
I think I was going to be like, I think I would run out of things after a while.
I have to say,
I'm sure there are things I can get rid of. Yeah, but it's more a circumstance thing. I don't think it was not entirely like an intended situation, but yeah. But as we keep talking on the show, and I know I've mentioned it a few times too, is I'm just trying to be more considered about what I'm bringing into the space, because I know once it's in, it's very unlikely to leave.
Yeah.
So it's better to kind of stop it at that stage, I think.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, I was talking to a friend. I've been living in my flat for 8 years now, and it is very homely. You know, you come here all the time, and you know that it's a home. It's got my stuff. There's always things that I get rid of, but I'm sure there could be more. But so, yeah, maybe I'll try it. But I did actually have to say, when I was watching the show, I have a basket on the TV stand. And I was looking at that basket while this thing was on. And I was like, what is in that basket? So I opened the basket because it's so hidden that, you know, you can see it in the gap. So I went through it and I did get rid of a lot of candles, which I gave to you, didn't I?
Actually, I think maybe we should just say that out right now. Like, I don't have a lot of stuff, but a lot of my clutter has come from one place.
But some of it's been useful. You love the candles.
I'm joking, but I'm just making a point.
Yes.
But I think maybe I don't know about one a day for 30 days, but I don't mind doing something like once a week or something.
Okay, let's try it. So next,
try this, once a week.
Yeah. So end of February, let's see. I'm going to try and do one a day.
Well, yeah, as in we'll touch base on this. Like, maybe we can do it 2 episodes from now, and then again, like 4 episodes from now or something, which will be a month.
Okay. So it's the 28th today. So, yeah, we'll do it from the 28th.
Yeah, by the end of February. Yeah.
To the end of February. Yeah, because it's 28th of February. Yeah, perfect. Oh, is it 28 or 29? 28.
28.
Yeah, okay. All right, perfect.
I mean, you know, like, this is great. So you learn decluttering, you learn how many days are there in a month. I mean, this is a full-fledged show over here.
Oh, shush. On okay, that
well,
note,
if you're on that note, I think that's all we have for you this week. That's what we want to talk about this week. So, if you'd like to get in touch with Shalina, of course, you can do that by messaging her on social media at Declutterme. So that's DECLUTTRME, or visiting the website declutterme.com. And subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast players, by the way. So you can do that by searching for Declutterme in your podcast players or going to declutterme.com/podcast, where you'll find links to the players as well as all of the old episodes. And we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.